You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. From fabric paint to roof repair, epoxy floor coatings, rust-fighting paint, and more, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.
I can hear the car horns downtown. I can hear them down College, down St. Clair. Italy lights out again. They're already through to the Sweet 16, the Final 16. They're into that round already, the first team to punch their ticket.
I have to be dummying the pool, like, just...
Why?
I don't know. Aren't my teams all dialed in?
We're in the first round, man.
Yeah,
we're in
exactly.
The group stage.
They've won two games.
Yeah, it means nothing.
Like, Italy's the Leafs. Take it easy right now. That's what I was told. Italy is the Leafs.
You know who are the Leafs? England are the Leafs. The similarities are off the charts.
Really?
They have not won anything internationally since, I believe, the 1966 World Cup. So
really?
It's like uncanny how connected they are to 1967, 1966. They always feel like they're going to get it done. They're always bringing it home, and this is the time, and this is the generation. And yet, in the back of every English man or woman's mind is the inevitable failure.
Really?
Right? Like, it's just a matter of time. Something's going to go wrong. That's the connection. Italy's actually won major tournaments. And, you know, I was thinking about it earlier today with where we're going here with the Stanley Cup playoffs when you mentioned the Maple Leafs. And there was some Maple Leaf news today, and we'll talk about it this afternoon. Is Tampa with a pretty decisive win last night, back in the driver's seat, by no means over. The Islanders absolutely could win that series. Absolutely could. But for a moment, let's pretend like they're going to win Tampa. Let's pretend Vegas is going to win. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are going to have two Stanley Cup appearances in 4 years.
Your head's about to explode.
My head's about to explode. Tampa won the Cup in 04, went back to the Cup in 13, won the Cup in 2020, and would be back there in 2021. That is four appearances in 17 years, and they've already won two. Maybe they win a third. The Leafs have not been in a Cup final since 1967. Tampa and Vegas.
Yeah.
Potentially
expansion
the Cup
teams.
Final.
Expansion teams.
It's crazy, man. It's
dude,
just
Vegas
wild.
Is the more frustrating element. I mean, expansion teams. You can remember back when a team like Tampa came in the league, get dummied for 7 years straight, and
awful.
Then all of a sudden one of their first overall picks would hit. And maybe, I mean, Ray lived in Atlanta. Garbage forever, for life.
Garbage for life.
These guys are the best team in the league and a prohibitive favorite every year. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Well,
Vegas, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
Vegas
if I was
is
an owner,
one.
If I was an individual owner, guys, I would be like,
yeah, but
what the hell's going on here where they could just start from scratch, make side deals? Yeah, that's one thing. But what the hell is going on here?
But Vegas had the one thing that, and we can get into this extensively. Vegas started with a clean slate. No bad contracts.
Right.
There, you know, no bad decisions.
So
really
what?
Until
so
well, what?
What
do you mean? We're just talking about, we get into the Maple Leafs. They can't afford Zach Hyman. They can't afford him right now.
That's what it
what you
like.
Just said, Noodles, is no bad contracts. It just says over time there's just so many GMs that all they do is screw it up. They screw it up, and then they're digging out of it.
Well, and that's the truth. The Leafs at one point had pretty much, you know, Kessel was gone. Dion was off the books. They were pretty close to a clean slate, and they're in the position they're in. Well, they got a lot of talent, and they're still a good team, but haven't achieved anything in the playoffs. We'll pick up on that in the next hour. There's a lot
I
to
got
get
audio.
Into.
I got audio.
There's
coming
a lot
out
to
of the
get
break.
Into.
I got some audio.
I feel
that
great
I got
about the comments I made yesterday because they.
I have got audio that I am going to play as soon as we come
Overdrive
back.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Well, well, well. I just wanted to get the one thing today, and it's just. I'm not mailing it in today because I'm just a professional and I take this seriously. But if I could just have Malls get my clip ready because I am going to play this as long as I'm allowed to be on this show. Whenever somebody beats somebody badly, I am going to play this.
He put the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis over his lap and gave them a spanking with a leather belt. And it was Gucci.
One more time, please, Mose.
He put the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis over his lap and gave them a spanking with a leather belt. And it was Gucci.
And it was Gucci.
What was? Does that make it more painful or more significant? I don't quite
understand. It's just more significant that the belt was Gucci. And my man Perk had that line.
That's a good line.
And it will stay with me forever.
Okay. I actually thought you were going to run the Durant sound where he was like, I am Kevin Durant.
That's a pretty good clip, too.
Like that, I was going to let that one breathe forever because he's almost like – just basically saying, you doubted me? I'm Kevin Durant. What are you talking about?
Whoever you think you are,
I am. It's the bowler.
It's the bowler. That's what Durant did last night. And I want to credit Kevin Durant for listening to this show and listening to me in particular because I said to him yesterday, this is your moment. This is your moment. No excuses. Just because Kyrie isn't going to be there, just because James Harden is on one leg, and I don't know what the hell he was doing last night or why he played 46 minutes, but I credit him. I mean, he grinded through it, but he was basically a decoy for 46 minutes of the game. But that proved the point. You're the best player in the world, which he is when he's on. No excuses. You got to win that game. You got to find a way to win that game. And what he did last night is a masterpiece. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. The guy did not miss a minute of play. He played 48 minutes, 49 points, 17 boards, 10 assists. First time in NBA history someone's done that, hit those numbers.
Clinic.
And he missed a free throw late for 50, which is an even more bold number that would have stood out. But he was epic last night. He was legendary. He was incredible. I take my hat off to him. The Bucks choked it away. What do they have, a 17-point lead at one point? And Giannis... Yeah. Giannis, what is your deal, dude? Like, offensively, he just does not have natural talent. He doesn't have natural rhythm.
Dude,
he
what do you
buckles.
Mean he has natural talent?
He doesn't. He doesn't offensively.
He's the MVP of the league.
Because he's bigger than everyone. He's stronger than everyone. He defends like a maniac.
So what, and he's Shaq? He's Shaq now?
No, Shaq doesn't miss shots that he missed last night. Like, he fumbles the ball late. That turnover ended the game effectively. I think it was Holiday that put it right in his midsection. He just dropped the ball and turned the ball over. He misses two field goals late. He's got James Harden posted up. Harden says no to the double team. Harden's on one leg last night. Giannis is way bigger than him, and Harden's on one leg, and he takes a fadeaway jumper. He doesn't have that shot. He doesn't have it. And Chris Middleton disappeared. It was a choke job, man.
Well,
no
what, do you think of this what do you think of this proposition? Reggie Miller tweeted out, might think I'm crazy for this. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I saw it. It is insane. But
he said, how about sit out KD and company for game 6 in Milwaukee because they played too many minutes and then put all your chips in for game 7. Is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life?
It's the most modern analysis I've ever heard in my life. We all saw LeBron's diatribe.
Maybe it's not that ridiculous.
It's
then.
Absolutely crazy to concede a game in game 6. It's crazy. You're in the playoffs.
Don't you kind of think Vegas Golden Knights kind of said to Colorado in the second round game 1, we're throwing Leonard in there. We just had a 7-game series. You can go ahead and chew on this one, but we're going to crush you when this is over.
That was game 1 that they did that in. Game 6, why would you play with fire like that? If you're essentially conceding.
Point is,
the game,
Brian, right. Same principle.
No, it's not the same principle.
Yeah, it is.
It's
letting your opponent saying, okay, you can take this one, but we're going to crush you next game.
Well, what if they don't crush them?
Right. Like, James Harden, one leg or not, I thought he was out to lunch.
He couldn't play. He was.
How about Barkley? I don't know if you saw
Barkley.
Last night. Like, Barkley was brilliant at the
so
half.
Good.
Like, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
Like, basically, it was so funny. But, like, I get it. But that was an absolute clinic by Durant.
It was.
Because they were done if he didn't decide to show up. Halfway through
done.
The game, they were done.
They were done. And Jeff Green went off last night. And Mike Boonholzer, do you see some of the faces he had last night?
Randy Carlyle when things were going off the tracks?
It was Carlyle Scrabble face in 2015. Like, that's what it was. It was, what is happening? Where are we going? What are we doing? But in the end, I mean, Kevin Durant proved who he is and what he's capable of doing. And I find it somewhat humorous, the whole legacy stuff, where last night, you know, if he didn't perform well, that could have taken a chip out of it. But now that he did, it was a legacy moment. Of course it is. That's the whole point of a legacy-type platform, is it can go either way. And he wrote history, and it's a positive history. That's a game that no one's going to forget. That was his official arrival in Brooklyn, right? No one, the regular season doesn't matter to Kevin Durant. Completely irrelevant to Kevin Durant. It was his moment. I'm here. This is my town. Come follow me to the promised land. What a game for him last night. There's no other way to describe it.
He's got
to
do it.
He's got to keep
more,
going.
They got to make it through.
Absolutely.
Like, it's he hasn't delivered the championship. He just got them through a game where they were, like I say, I thought dead in the water.
Yep.
You make it through. Looks like Kawhi's got himself a problem. Like, there's.
We were talking earlier, Hayes. The TV networks are looking at a possible dream matchup if Milwaukee can get through the old Utah-Milwaukee final in
right.
the NBA.
There's a real possibility. Like, I think Philly's going to get through, but it could be Atlanta-Milwaukee-Utah-Phoenix, which is not necessarily a ratings dream. It is variety, though. It's different. It's not LeBron. It's not Steph. But Kawhi, it feels like what's leaking out here is that he blew his knee out,
right.
And they know it, and they're concerned that he has torn his ACL. And that'll be interesting because, you know, he's going to opt out of his contract. He's still going to get whatever he wants, but that'll be 2 years in L.A. They're not going anywhere without Kawhi. Like, if he's done, they're done. Effectively, they're not going to beat Utah, and even if they do, they're not getting through the Suns. And if you're a Raptor fan, all you can do is look back on it and say it's a miracle he survived four rounds in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, he's just always dealing with injuries and pretty significant ones, and he found a way to play in at least 16 meaningful games where they won 16 times.
And what's the deal with CP3? How come John Rahm on the PGA Tour can miss like a week and then all of a sudden show up at Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open? They said CP3 is gone for the whole next series? Like, what the hell's going on with that?
I don't think he's gone officially for the whole series, but it's an indefinite until he returns, I believe, multiple negative tests. And every league's got different protocols. It is difficult to follow because I was surprised Rahm got out earlier than I thought he was going to.
Right.
But he's out, and he's at Torrey Pines, and he's prepping for the U.S. Open, and it's all good. But, Chris Paul, I guess, tested positive. I don't know where he's at with vaccines and kind of stuff like that. Is he double vaxxed, one vaxxed? Maybe he's not got any. And if he has not been vaccinated and he's got COVID, what if it hits him hard?
Right.
You know, these are all possibilities. And needless to say, potentially game-changing scenarios for Chris Paul, the Suns, and the Western Final. But he's got time, right? Like, the Clippers and Jazz look like they're going at least six, maybe seven. He's probably got a minimum of a week before game one. So maybe he returns a couple of negative tests and it's all good. But, man, it's a ton of NBA news today. Ray will join us here in a moment. A ton of Blue Jays news.
Yeah, what the hell are they doing
tonight?
What's going on there? Like, what are they doing?
Well, how about Charlie Montoyo basically finally snapped out of his shell and decided, I can't pretend like I'm just a happy guy every single day.
And by the way, he basically said, I can't say that I could have gave you this guy or that guy because it's just not available.
He said the truth last night. By trying to dance around it, he caught himself and tried to scale it back. The bullpen is an absolute disaster.
Right.
Disaster. And it's costing them games, and they're not going anywhere with this current state. Like, they're just not. You can't win. You can't win in this division. You can't go into Fenway. You can't play the Yankees. And now you got chicken strips up against Garrett Cole tonight. And, you know.
I know.
It's a mess.
I wanted context, and I had a buddy who follows the Blue Jays. I talked to him today, and I said, tell me what this team is. Like, and he said, picture Matthews and Marner both getting a hat trick and having an amazing night and Freddie giving up seven. Like, he's like, that's what it is.
Or having no equipment on.
Like he said, they
Freddie plays goal in street clothes, and they get a hat trick each game.
That's right, though, Noodles. That's the appropriate. Like if but you're going to that was the analogy to that, a hockey analogy.
That's what he gave to me for context.
The Jays have a top three offense in baseball. In baseball, not just the American League, not the American League East, in baseball across the board. And last night they put five on the board. They're up 5-2. They handed over 5-3. They handed over to the bullpen, and before they knew it, it was tied. And then Romano comes in, who's the only guy you can trust at this point. He gives up a double. Rest is history. And the underlying issue and the underreported issue is that Ryu has now had three pretty ugly starts in a row based on his standards. He wasn't great again last night. He gave up three earned, four walks. Like he is walking more guys than he's striking out the last three outings. That is not a good sign. So the staff has to hold on. The bats have to hold on, but the bullpen just can't right now. We'll play the Montoyo audio. We'll get into it more later this afternoon. Game two, Habs Vegas tonight to tee it up. We're joined now by our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
I liked Montoya's quote about a week ago. Basically, he said, look, these are the guys we got. Somebody better get somebody out, or we're kind of screwed, and we got to find somebody else. Like, eventually, right? Like, these are the people you've brought in, and you have, and yeah, there's injury and all that stuff, but man, if they can't get anybody out, it doesn't matter if you've got a great offense. And I imagine for being a starting pitcher, it would suck knowing that unless you're razor perfect, your bullpen can't hold it anyway.
Right. You're handing the ball over, and it turns from a baseball into a grenade when you hand it to the manager, and some guy comes out of the bullpen. And the issue that Montoyo has and the clip he had last night, why don't we play it here? Because I'm sure you heard it last night, Ray. I'd be curious to get your take on it as an athlete. This is what Montoyo had to say. He swore for the first – I've never heard him swear before. Like, this is the most happy-go-lucky guy I've ever come across, and he's not happy, and he's wearing it. This is what Montoyo said about the bullpen postgame last night.
I don't know, Chad. That's tough to explain. All I know is it seems like every day I get a question, so what's wrong with Castro? What's wrong with Chadwood? Or now it's Dolis. What's wrong with Dolis? Why are you pitching Dolis in that inning? It's been every month. I mean, the whole month about the same thing, you know. The guy, we're going to give him a chance, you know. Castro, we need Castro to pitch good. Chadwood was good today. Dolis, we need him. You know, Romano came in, gave up a double. He's still going to pitch. You know, these who we got.
So I'm curious from your take, your stance here, Ray, as a player, because, and we can go around the table on this. He is a manager, just like a head coach, is in such a precarious position here, in my opinion, because he's got to stick up for his guys in the clubhouse who they want to win. They feel like they can win. They got a good enough team. And everyone
also
knows what
float
the problem
a message up top saying this is not enough.
But on the other, who butters his bread? Atkins and Shapiro. So you can't come out and say our GM is a joke, and if he doesn't figure this out, I'm going to quit. You know, like how do you balance it, and what do the players want to hear?
Well, you always want the guy to have your back, but eventually, I mean, like when you come in and there's like, just to keep this to baseball, like if you come in and there's two guys on base, and you leave, and it's three hitters later, and there's still two guys on base, you don't need anybody to tell you whether you've done the job or not. Man, they're running around like they're in a park.
Right.
Like, their bullpen comes in, and everybody knows whether you're – and you know this is your chance, man. Like, you get a chance to be in the big leagues. You got a chance to be part of a bullpen, to be – you know, to solidify your spot in the bigs, and you just can't get it done. Mm-hmm. Like, you could feel that. Like you,
right.
I hated when the coach would say, man, like, you know, we have no, you know, our power play sucks. I was part of the power play. He'd say, like, if our power play doesn't get going, we're going to have to make some changes. And you're like, you take it personally.
It's also different. What you like, there's different personalities that have different thinking in the locker room, Hayes. Like, Vladdy Guerrero is the best player in the team. And great players, they're selfish because they're great and they want to win because they're generally the face of the franchise. So he wants Charlie to say, you know what, go get some help because we need to win here. And if you're the guys that are struggling in the bullpen, you want him to say, you know what, I believe in these guys. I trust them. I can get it done. But you're Vladdy. You're saying, Charlie, get your ass out there and call these guys above us out and tell them to get us some help because we need it. And we're good enough to win if you do get it.
Well, it's funny if you're, but when you think of it that way, then really the guy that should be saying something is the guy that's raking pitchers all over North America right now. He's the guy with the clout.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like, he's the guy. Yeah. He's got more clout than the manager. Like, if Guerrero says, hey, guys, this is crazy. Like, we got to get somebody out here.
He's got more clout than anybody in that organization right now.
Well, and it from that standpoint, it would be deja vu. Bautista used to do it all the time. Yeah. Bautista, remember at the deadline, he'd be like, well, we didn't do anything. I guess whatever. Rinky-dink operation. Like, I guess we'll move on here and be a 500 club. Like, he just
snapped. I think this is so much like, because they're so different. And baseball is such a different sport. But isn't it like when you – if your goalies are no good, and you'd look back and you'd be like, get us somebody to stop the puck.
Right.
Like, you're Guerrero or you're Bichette or whomever, and you guys are just raking day after day, and you're like, can anybody down there get anybody out? Yeah. And if they can't, go get us somebody, because all I can do is hit and field. I can't throw a strike. So go get us somebody.
Well, that's the analogy you use, Noodles.
And you know
perfect,
what? It's
perfect example.
It's also tough on morale. Like, regardless of any sport, if there is a specific position that struggles, like Ray just talked about, if you can't get a save in hockey, you're screwed. Like, you're done. Like, if you can't get a save in baseball, it doesn't matter how many hits you have, how many home runs. Like, you're eventually just going to give it up. And that's probably the frustrating part. When you're sitting in the dugout, these guys are like, hey, we got a 5-2 lead. Doesn't matter. It's not safe. Like, they don't trust what's going on. You know what I mean?
All I can think of is, you remember in Bull Durham where Nuke is just getting hammered, just getting crushed. He's like, I go out there, and every day it's like grenades and a fire or whatever. And he's like, it's like, boom, boom, boom. That's what these guys are like. Like, they go in right now, unfortunately, they can't save anything. They can't even stem the tide. They get 6 runs a game.
It's oh, they're putting up massive numbers. Their offense is so good. And now they got Cole against them tonight. That's the worst part. If you're the Bats, you're like, all right, we got to face this guy. So we really need the arms tonight. Like, we might need to win this 2-1. What are the chances? Probably
slim. Yeah,
well,
just think no sticky stuff tonight either. So we'll see.
Well, I don't know. The Spider Attack may have made it up to Buffalo. Who knows? It stayed within the state, New York to Buffalo. No crossing state lines, so maybe they could get away with that. Anyway, with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, Jason Spezza back on a 1-year deal with the Leafs, $750K. I think we all saw this coming, didn't we, Ray? I mean, he had a good year last year. They like him. It's a league minimum. That's the plan.
This is an easy one because – if you don't say you don't sign Jason, you're going to look around for somebody to do what he could do. That's the only difference is that he's younger, because you're not going to pay that spot any more money than what he's getting. And he checked every box. He did everything plus more that they could have possibly hoped for with him. I thought he had an awesome year. One of the real, for expectation of what you were thinking, and then what you got, he was one of the winners for sure.
Ray, I think he was awesome. Everybody loves Spets, and I think about the position, and he's going to do his job. He's a secondary power play guy. He's going to create offense. He's going to score goals from sources you generally don't get it at. But shouldn't this be a position for a younger guy in the roster? Like, what? I don't do like depth charts for teams, but what exactly do the Maple Leafs have in the old cupboards, as they call it, coming up like through the ranks here, other than the left-handed shot
Robertson,
like what are we talking about here? Who's in the system? Do you know?
Projects, right? Like nobody that's ready to play.
No,
like the first rounder they took. I think was it 2020 or 2019?
Amirov.
Yep. Like he's not close to playing. He's and they drafted him with that like a high-end guy that might take a little bit of time. So, I mean, the only other guy that was even in the mix last year was Brooks. Like, who else could it be?
I don't see anybody. No one I'm aware of that's just on the cusp of breaking through.
I just don't understand. I'm not going to be the old Don Cherry thing here, draft a Canadian. But that right-handed shot defenseman who they took after Amirov, who played in the World Juniors last year, is it Stevenson?
Schneider.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you pass up on that big, tall, lanky defenseman that can play and will play soon. I just don't understand that.
Well, I mean, that's their theory of drafting. That's their blueprint to draft skill over everything else. And it's either going to work or it's not. And, you know, right now, it obviously it hasn't. And those picks are either going to come through for them in a large way, or they're going to have a giant hole of unfilled picks.
I got to be honest here. Like, I like the Spets signing. I think we all love Spets. We all know him on personal levels and in different ways. You know, he just turned 38 the other day. And, you know, I keep thinking when guys that are getting close to 40, like, there is a year where the legs, like, it literally, like, Joe Thornton, to me, I thought the legs, like, you know, near the end and the pace got going. Now, he had a nice stretch, just down the stretch. But then in the playoffs, like, he didn't look like he had pace. Like, you have to get ahead of stuff. Now, I know it's a $750,000 contract, and Jason Spezza is a quality person and everything, but there will be a time where it's not going to work. Like, that
sure,
signing.
But Noodles, yeah. It's 750 grand.
Exactly.
See, he comes there, and he skates like me.
Right.
You go, it's 750. Hey, Jason, we can't keep you on the roster. We're going to send you down. Are you going to retire? Yes or no?
Right.
And it comes off the cap. It's like they just bury the money. Like
I agree.
That's why this, to me, Noodles, was easy. Like,
I agree.
Where else are you going to find it? You got 10 goals. 100%.
No, and he's fantastic. My whole thing in thinking today is, like, for some reason, I think we are going to see almost a facelift with this roster. Like, I think Spezza might be the guy that survives from, you know, those signings around the big four. And with the Hyman, you know, I don't know whether it's true or not, what he's looking for. I think you might see a real different-looking team next year. And that might be just because of the lack of success in the playoffs. And you're looking around at other teams having success in the playoffs in the way that they're constructed. I think Kyle might lean a little bit different in his philosophy. I could be wrong.
Well, it
but
changed last year to an
it
extent.
Did.
I mean,
it did.
What we know is coming back for the most part is they're going to have the four forwards up front, some combination of the same top six defensemen, certainly the top four, I believe, they'll protect, and Jack Campbell. You know, so beyond that, there's a lot of potential movement. I think when it comes to Spezza, there's a couple of things that might determine where what they have in the system and what they have in terms of flexibility. If their plan is, okay, we got him and we need him to be like a piece, that is a little bit concerning. If he's a piece because he plays like it, awesome.
Right.
But if it's like, man, if Spezza doesn't work out, what are we going to do on the fourth line?
Right.
Then that could be a bit concerning. And ideally you would want a scenario where if he just keeps playing the way he's been playing, which has been very, very good, like very good, regardless of age, regardless of contract, he was a good player.
Yep.
But that there's guys pushing, younger guys pushing. But I don't know if they have that. Like, I don't know. If,
okay,
it doesn't
so
sound like they do.
Is their younger guys are a bunch of jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look at the teams in the playoffs right now. They're big, man, and they're
fast.
That's
true. That's right.
And so if Jason is on your fourth line and he plays on your second power play, like, So what if he's 38? You're not asking him to carry anything. You're saying we need you to support the players we have. I'm more concerned about their bottom six last year towards the end of the year when they had Mikheyev and Engvall together. Like, those guys are never going to score, ever.
Yeah.
And I like Mikheyev. I think he's really an effective guy. I like him far more than Engvall. But that's your third line. That line needs to be addressed, like, seriously. If you lose Hyman, well, there's money that, well, but it's only 2.25.
Not that much money. Yep.
It's right. Only 2.25. Like, this is they're going to have to continually fill the bottom of their roster with low salary guys because, you know, in particular, if you take Nylander out because that salary's fine, is that you've got over $31 million in three forwards.
Right.
You're going to have to work always around that.
Agreed. I was, again, thinking crazy. Like, is there any way that Kyle could go all in on a guy like Seth Jones? And I know it would take a king's ransom maybe to, but, like, to me, that's a guy that might be, you know, I guess franchise changing on the back end.
Absolutely. How are you going to have him with the other four guys up
front? I understand that. It might cost you one of the four. It might cost you Morgan Riley. It might cost you something else. But my point is like, all we've been talking about is Vegas, Pietrangelo, Theodore, your Montreal, yes, Weber, they're 4D. Like,
I'd be all in on that. I love Seth Jones.
I do too. It's just,
what does all in mean for you, Hayes?
Well, I mean, if it's a deal, there's guys that aren't going to be off that aren't on the table. It's not Matthews. Matthews is not one. Tavares is not one. If it's Marner and there's a deal that makes sense, I'd absolutely investigate that. I'd definitely explore it. 100%.
But you can't, or if you're talking now, then we're just please people.
Yes,
we're
just not radio
falling around here. So, like, if you're talking Marner and Jones, like, that doesn't make any sense. Because now you don't have any forwards.
Right.
Like, who's going to score? Now you got seven defensemen.
Yeah,
the way that deal would even work, I don't know if it could. Like, Seth Jones is at, what is he at, five right now? Marner? There would have to be multiple pieces and extensions. I mean, maybe it's Morgan Riley if you feel like both of them are into a one-year deal and they're both going to walk. I'm just saying, Seth Jones is a guy, I personally love him as a player, and I would explore it.
Why wouldn't you explore?
Of course, you have to. But you'd also be willing to pay the piper, whatever that happens to be, if you feel like it's a move that's going to make a difference for you. But, you know, the money is what sticks out. As you just pointed out, Ray. I mean, at the end of the day, you're just going to have a lot. You have a lot of money committed to four guys, as we've known for a couple of years. It hasn't worked for them yet. The guys are still spectacular talents, really good players, really good players. But they got to make a tough decision at some point if it doesn't continue to work.
Well, I'll be honest, guys. As I was watching that, what I thought was an awesome game last night, watching the Islanders just like, crash around and smash around with Tampa and how fast it was, I'm like, I don't know any of the northern teams that can play with that.
Well,
that was my thought as I was watching it. I just thought it was fast and mean, and you know, and of course we're at the playoffs, the ultimate level, which is not the same as the regular season, but I'm like, I don't see anybody that can play with that.
And we'll find out if the Habs can do it tonight. Like, what are the chances?
Doesn't
seem great.
They don't. And I mean, Petrie's a game time at best, right? Or is he out still?
No, it says game time.
Doesn't feel good that he'll play, but he might. He could.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's a huge loss for them. And I don't know. Montreal, I thought, was great the other night in the first period. They didn't get the lead, and it was like, then it just felt like they weren't going to win. That's a pretty tough way to play. Maybe they can get the lead, right? Maybe they can get one early or get two early, because they almost did the other night, and maybe it would have been a different night. But I didn't feel like they got blown out of there, but, man, Vegas is – they're just too good for me.
They're good. They're big. They're deep. They're fast. They got a great goalie. Yeah, they're loaded. They are loaded. Well, we'll see. We'll find out tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
What was the deal with the Gareth Bale bun? Anybody going with it? What are you guys doing?
I don't think so. We can't pull off the man bun.
Noodles is the only one that's got a chance.
No, I got a bald spot there. How the hell am I going to get hair there?
Yeah, like, as
the late Dave Semenko said to me one time, Noodles, when he was bending over tying his shoes, and I said, "Hey, Sammy, you're bald." He goes, "Yeah, it's only been a rumor to you till now." I didn't know you had a bald spot there, Noodles. I had no idea.
That's right.
Well, it was pointed out to me by my son and my wife, who took a picture of it when I was helping bathe my son. I bent over and I got texted a picture. This is how gutless Steph was. She texts me the picture. So I pick up my phone and I look at this. I go, "What the hell is that?" She's like, "That's the top of your head."
She could have just sent a picture of a monkey's ass. And that was
exactly. It was
jarring. I got a haircut,
jarring.
and my little guy who's 11, Reese, goes, "Hey, Dad, they took a little too much off the top again." Yeah, funny, aren't you, Reese?
No,
you know genetic? Guess what, kid?
Yeah. Go ask someone else for money next time you need it.
Yeah,
not going to be me. But, yeah, the man bun's not going to happen. We'll leave that to Gareth Bale. at professional
Perfect.
Athletes.
Later on, boys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Steve Phillips still to come. Dan Wyke on a lot of NBA news today. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
All right, the Wheel of Misfortune on TSN 1050, spun by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. We've been doing this a long time, no need for an explanation. Spin the wheel. Let's see what we're playing this week.
Jerry.
All right. That is, I hate that clip. I just, it's so obnoxious. It's borderline disgusting is really what it is. But all right, Jerry is with us on a Wednesday afternoon. This is feeling very nostalgic. We like it. My understanding is he has an opening statement. Let's hear from Jerry.
Jerry's basking in the glory of watching that lightweight pigeon Bobby Manfred lose all control of his league with the foreign substance crap. Jerry's solution is simple. Lock out the players and move a team or two out of Canada. And for the record, Jerry only uses foreign substances in foreign lands. Something the average pigeon can only dream of. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. I'd rather not. I'd rather Jerry. Not know what kind of foreign substance is Jerry using.
What's that place in Europe, Hayes? You went there.
In a foreign land.
I don't know. Isn't there a place in Europe where it's just all systems go?
Well, Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Yeah, that's where Jerry hangs out in the off season.
I got engaged in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah,
what?
I got engaged in Amsterdam. There's guys going to peeler joints. There's
dude. Why wouldn't you? You went to France and like England on that trip. Why would you do that city?
Because it was the start of the trip, and then it was we went to Rome, and it was kind of I don't know, man. But it was
what
good.
A
it worked
loser.
Out. No, it worked out beautifully. It was a textbook move. Right on the bridge of a canal, there was another guy just staring at me the whole time. I'm like, this is awkward. Can you leave? Can you move, please? It's all good. Shout out to Amsterdam. Good, wholesome town. All right. Let's hear from the takes. Let's get to Jerry's percentages.
The whole baseball controversy is just a smokescreen because Bob Manfred is finally going to snap out of it and fire up a labor dispute this offseason. And Jerry's sniffing out a delayed start to next year's MLB season. Jerry Sniff.
I don't know why he needed to do that.
No, me neither.
Labor dispute, delay of season?
Yeah, that's what Jerry is allegedly sniffing out.
I'll say 25%. I don't think anybody involved wants that, could come to that. But I'm just going to put it on the table. There's always a chance.
I'm lower than that. Like, I just, I don't think anybody wants it. They want to.
Dude, one of the best pitchers in the league came out and said he can't use the spider tack, and he just blew out his arm.
Tyler Glasnow, yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that come up in CBA negotiations, though, using spider tack? I don't know.
I'm low on this. I'm 8%. I through pandemics and everything, people just want to play. They want to get it sorted.
Right. And they have not had any issues since the World Series was canceled in 94 and the beginning of the 95 season. They've been pretty harmonious, these two sides, but does kind of feel like there's some stuff boiling over here. Contracts are not necessarily going where players want them to, even though some of them are through the roof. We're coming out of a pandemic. The owners might be trying to clamp down even more on free agency and spending the money that they feel like is appropriate. You know, Scott Boras is going to be yelling and screaming. Rob Manfred doesn't know what he's doing, so I don't know if he can keep his own people in line. I'll go a little bit higher than you guys. I'll say 40%. I wouldn't be shocked if there was an issue here with this CBA. I wouldn't be shocked. 40%.
The Vegas Golden Knights are to the Montreal Canadiens what Jerry is to Ronald Fear. An unstoppable force. So this thing ends in a sweep, and that's a Jerry Vegas lock.
An unstoppable force. Okay.
To Ronald that? Fear.
Yeah. He's got Vegas sweeping the Habs.
85%.
I'm low on this. I think Montreal can get – I think this is going six. So I'm going to be low on this. Mm-hmm. 6%.
What if they get dummied again tonight? You still going to say that?
Yeah, because they got two other games.
I understand that. But I was in just Montreal. Asking if – okay. Like I'm going 85% sweep. I just think it's too much now. They're in too deep.
Well, it's been one game. I'll give them they're too deep. It's one game. But go ahead.
Okay, let's have a chat tomorrow then. We'll have a chat tomorrow.
No, I don't think they're winning tonight.
After a 5-1 win tonight for Vegas, and then we'll talk tomorrow.
I think Vegas will win. I think Montreal's going to get one in Montreal.
That's basically you're saying four straight. I don't think it's four straight.
I don't think they'll get swept. I think they'll win a game. I'll say 15%. I got to leave the door open, but I'll say 15%. I think even if all said, if it has to get to a point where Price just literally steals one on his own, or they get a lead and hold on for dear life, maybe some overtime magic. They've done it, but I think they'll get one. 15%.
The Clippers are screwed without Kawhi. So the Jazz win two straight and end this thing.
Mocking the Kawhi laugh, Jerry. Ooh. He's in quite the mood to afternoon. But he's got this one over. Jazz. Done.
No Kawhi. Like, good night. I'm sorry. This is 100%. I know I'm not allowed to do that, but it's 100%. No Kawhi, this is game over.
Well, you got any faith in playoff P?
No. What about
Paul
George?
Yeah,
I was just going to say, like, no way. Especially when all the chips are in on him. No way, man. That's 100% game over.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say 100, but it's high. I'm 91%.
Yeah, I got to be really high. I'll go a little bit lower just for the game purposes. I'll stick you in the middle noodles. But like Kawhi has been so good, especially those two games back at Staples Center. But he's out. It feels like he's done for the series. He's not going to battle back. That's not going to happen. And if he blew out his ACL, he can't anyway. 80%. Maybe playoff P pushes it to 7.
Playoff P.
Maybe Ty Lue works something out. Work some magic out. But Utah, I think, is better anyway, and Kawhi is the ultimate equalizer. If he's not around, it's not good for the Clippers. Not so cool. Not so cool for Steve Ballmer and company.
No.
I'll say, 80%.
Jerry's been known to be a free agent whisperer. So listen closely. Zach Hyman has played his last game as a Maple Leaf.
Imagine that voice, sweet nothings in your ear. Just it makes the hair stand up on
your arm. Can you just play the supposed whispering from Jerry there?
Zach Hyman has played his last game as a Maple Leaf.
That's the creepiest whisper I've ever heard. That's not a whisper. That's louder than his original voice. And
I know.
Something.
I don't understand what he was doing there.
Okay. The take, though, he is the free agent whisperer. Jerry saying Hyman is done, leaving Toronto.
I'm going to say 85% on that one, too.
Yeah.
If you're looking at this guy, I don't know how people do contracts, man. It's not my gig. I don't talk about it. I don't really care. But if you're his agent, wouldn't you say, look, the other guys are making 11. Isn't he worth 6? And it's all just dependent on whether he wants to say, oh, I'm a Toronto guy, I'm a Maple Leaf, and I'm going to be the one to die on the sword and make a hometown discount so these things can work. And if he doesn't want to do that, he's gone. Because someone's going to pay the man.
Yeah, I'm just always, what is he? Like, I that's the thing that I always look at. Like, is he a top six? He's at a career high of, 41 points. He's a 20-goal scorer who works really hard, can kill penalties. He's good he's good when he plays with top players. Obviously, he's good on the third line, too. He's, like, how much is he going to get? Like, $5.5-6 million, a team might have buyer's remorse going, if he gets to another organization and doesn't have to Matthews and Marner to play with, or you know, a third line, he's not going to be as productive. Like, that's where he's got to look at the whole scenario. And you know, I think he has. Personally, I think he's played his last game as a Maple Leaf, because if that's the marketplace for him, let's say it's 5.5 to 6 million, the Leafs can't afford that. They can't. So I'm high on this. I'm 78%. I still want him to be here, but
he's got to
do what's best for him.
Yeah, of course he does. And there's a bunch of things at play here. He may have come up at the wrong time in a way, because the Leafs front office actually has to win a contract negotiation, because they got their doors blown off multiple times. That Mitch Marner contract is one is I mean, there'll be books written about that, how they got played. Like, that, to give him six at 10.9, he's a great player, great talent. Rantanen 6 days later signed for six at nine. Rantanen's as good. You know, he's as good. And Braden Point, we can do this all day.
Right.
I think the front office knows we got to win one. And Hyman's like, well, why do you got to win against me? You know,
right.
And I don't blame him if that's his thought process. I also wouldn't be surprised if the team is leaking it out. Well, we're not going there, so good luck. And Hyman may not get the number he wants because he's not young. To your point, Noodles, like, he's got to play with the right guys to truly be effective. He's had some knee injuries, another one this year. You know, like, there's a lot of things that go into this. It's not just simply we love Zach and he's going to play on this line, so you're coming back. There's a lot of detail that has to go into it. So I'm not going to say it's officially over right now.
Right.
I'll say 51%. I'll lean into the majority. That
I'll say this. I don't like the way it looks for him returning right now.
No.
Just things are starting to come out, and it's like, okay, maybe
they're up
this
against
is not happening.
They're up against it too, right? Like, they, if they're committed, if Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and Nylander are coming back, their top four defensemen.
But all the other
back,
players
they
that
don't
are
have
up,
a lot of room.
They all have the same response, Brian, when it comes to them getting paid. Why are those contracts my fault?
Of course, of course.
It's not.
And let me clarify: I don't blame Mitch Marner for saying, if that's the deal, I'll sign it. Like, that, Mitch Marner got a great deal, and he deserved a great deal based on the player he is. It should have been $9 million a year for six. That's what it should have been. Or a bridge deal at seven, like Braden Point or whatever. That's where he was. They decided to hand him a lot more. Now they're paying the price.
If it's $9 million a year, what are you going to say about his play? No goals in 19 games in
it's still the same thing.
Nine. Yeah, it's still the same thing.
You're not getting paid in the playoffs, right?
Right.
But, you know, again, listen, it's done. It is what it is. But this is what comes with it. On top of COVID and the pandemic and a flat cap, is they're in tight. And guys that you love to bring back, like Hyman, maybe Morgan Rielly, we might be in the same spot this time next year.
Right.
Could be. Rielly might look at it, have a great platform year, and say, I want eight. And maybe, like, we literally can't give that to you.
I'm sure they've already probably digging into that, trying to
they
find out
be.
What the number's going to be. And if it's not going to be the right number, it's probably time to make action on that right now.
Yep, there might be. The Wheel of Misfortune on 1050 is spun, or was spun, by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. Have you noticed mold in your home, boat, or RV? Mold possesses a real health hazard for you and your family and is extremely tough to get rid of. Concrobium Mold Control by Rust-Oleum kills mold, eliminates musty odors, and prevents mold from growing back without using harmful chemicals. Concrobium Mold Control is for homeowners, professional remodelers, and contractors, and is also available in a handy aerosol for mid-sized jobs and hard-to-reach spaces. Start getting rid of mold today with Concrobium Mold Control by Rust-Oleum, celebrating their 100th anniversary. Visit Concrobium.com or your local home improvement and hardware store.
Throw some of that on your driver.
Shout out to that thing. I needed it yesterday.
Awesome.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Brad Lidge in about 15 minutes. Dan Wyke of the LA Times on all this NBA news. Our U.S. Open draft still to come. But the playoff faceoff is presented by Lay's White Cheddar. It's time for Lay's playoff faceoff. Lay's is facing off against Ruffles All Dressed, Doritos Sweet Chili Heat, Smart Food White Cheddar with their three new potato chip flavors available for a limited time. This comes down to Weber and Sherratt up against the big boys in Vegas. You know, I think that deep pairing for Montreal has to – they got to win the battle tonight.
Right.
Can they do it?
Ooh. Because
how
they
do you
didn't
expect me to say yes when I just said it's 100% going to be a
right.
sweep.
I know where you stand. I guess, Noodles, yeah. can you spin this one way or the other?
I can spin it, but what concerns me is Marchessault and Stone had grade A opportunities and didn't score.
Right.
You know, so they're due. I'm leaning towards Vegas on this one. Unfortunately.
I am as well. Unfortunately for Montreal.
Unfortunately for Montreal. But, you know, you're trying to, like, the thing is Carey Price can have an off night, too. Like, he's
exactly.
been great. You know, one of these guys are due for a dud at some point.
And the Habs need Fleury to have a couple of off nights. And then I think sure. if they score first tonight, then maybe they settle in, they breathe a little bit. But that building's going to pop again tonight. You know that. The playoff faceoff presented by Lay's White Cheddar. Hour 3 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast. Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. If you've got a surface to protect or a look you want to transform, home or industry, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.